Then we have coming up also more community. Do you see what today's theme is? Okay, thank you for the little laugh. I appreciate that. It goes a long way. We have a thing called date night. We have date night coming up February 15th from 6 to 9 p.m. You can see that there's information there. This is an opportunity for marriages. At Bridge City Church, we care about your marriage. And we want to give you the opportunity to go out with other couples and do life together and also just have just some fun. So there's an opportunity for you to sign up there. There's, you can see the cost. But this is what we're here for. God made us, you and I, for community. The very heart of God's plan, the very heart of God's purpose for his children is to live in community. Do you know that this morning? That we're not meant to be in isolation. We're not meant to be alone. Although we often feel it, that's a truth. But we're meant to be in groups. From as early as creation, the very nature of who God is, you think about it. What is God's nature? He's Father, he's Son, and he's Holy Spirit. Just that God's nature alone is made up of a community that's interdependent on one another. There's a community that has that. That's God's nature. So if that's who God is, how much more do we need that? How about this? From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, he saw lonely Adam. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So from the very beginning, it was God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So God's intention for us is not to be alone. It's not to do this by ourselves. There's a lot of, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, in my faith, you'd hear people call it the John Wayne bootstrap theology. I'm not familiar with John Wayne that much. I've seen a couple movies. It's all right. We could talk afterward. But there's just more of this independent spirit that happens within people. That's what they're about. I'm going to do this by myself. I'm going to pull it up by my bootstraps. I don't know if it's a Western Pennsylvania thing, if it's just like we're blue collar to the core, and we are, right? But it's more than that. That's part of it. Grit and unction and work ethic, that's all good. But in and of itself, it's not going to get you what you're looking for. And you're desiring at your heart for community, aren't you? A relationship with God, a relationship with your spouse, a relationship with the church family and friends. We all long for that, don't we? Some of you are not going to admit that. You're like, I like being by myself. I get it. We're introverts and extroverts. But the reality is this, that the very nature of God's plan for us was to live in community. How many of you want community this morning? Not every hand went up. I'm concerned. Okay. All right. So here's the thing. We're called to this. Listen, we're called at Bridge City Church, we're called to biblical relationships. Biblical relationships. So we say this, that we're called to gather together as brothers and sisters on a Sunday or outside these walls. We're called to gather to do life together. We're called to grow, to become fully devoted followers of Christ. We're called to give of our time, talent, and treasure. We're called to use the resources that we have, who we are. We're called to give that. And utilize that. You just saw all these beautiful children's ministry workers pouring into our little ones. You know, that's just a great gift of giving. And then we're called to go out into our communities, go out into our workplaces, go out into our families and share what God has given us. And so we're not called to just hold it back. So we have this God-given purpose that if God is three in one, he calls his children to live in community, and then we're called to go and live it out. But what holds us back? What holds us back is this fears that we have. Here's a quote for you, Sly. Look carefully at the closest associations in your life, for that is the direction you are headed. And so this is from author Kevin Aikenberry. He talks about that. If you look at who we surround ourselves with, who is in your circle of influence, and if you look at that, that is the direction you're heading. My mom used to drill into my head, you need to surround yourself with healthy friendships. You need to have healthy friendships because if you don't, you can get caught up in some serious stuff. I grew up in Beaver Falls, PA. Some of my friends were caught up in some really tough stuff. Some of my friends went to jail. Some of them were shot, things like that. So it was important. It's important for us to think about, even now, no matter how old you are, to think about who are you surrounding yourself with? Who is your community? Who are your people, if you will? Who are you surrounding yourself? And you'll see that if you're surrounding yourself with those people, that's the direction you're headed. Have you ever been around someone that's like Eeyore or Debbie Downer or just negative all the time, like a wet washcloth? It's just, I need a nap. It's heavy, right? And when you're around that over a long period of time, what happens to you? Your countenance and the way you look at things negatively and pessimistic, and God says, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to surround yourself and know that you are set free. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 36, he says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. And so that's our launch verse from this whole sermon series, is that if we look at our surrounding influence and our friendships and our communities, and if those folks are free, we're gonna be free as well, right? No, is everybody perfect? No, not, man will tell you, Ben's not perfect, right? But here's the thing, if we surround ourselves with people that are like-minded and have the same direction and treat people with dignity and respect, like we're gonna see that in people, in culture. So we're gonna see that. So Jesus said he comes to set us free, and if he sets us free, we're free indeed. Do you feel free this morning? Do you feel that? So here's the thing, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't feel free. It's being free means to be released from bondage, to remove the restrictions of sin. You think about somebody that's wrapped in like all these bandages or constrained. It's removing all that, and you're delivered into this spiritual liberty to grow. And that's what we're called to do. So when you're free from all these restraints. Just, you know, I remember, I used to wrap, what was it called? Swaddling. Swaddle my kids. They love that. Right, I remember swallowing my kids. But as we grow and mature, we're supposed to move out from that. God wants us to be free and to move and to grow, right? To be unshackled, to realize our destiny in Christ. So our destiny in Christ this morning, as we think about it, we're called to be free in him. We're called to do life in community. We're called to sharpen one another. That's what we're called. So there's freedom within community because of Christ. Too many of us are settling. We're mailing it in. We're just getting by. We're being marginal employees sometimes. But Christ wants us to be more than that. He wants us to really lean into that freedom and encompass all that, to deal with past hurts, to deal with fears and anxiety. And he wants to live like we're free. He doesn't want you to just get by life. He wants you to actually have freedom and live it out and demonstrate it day after day after day. Now, is that easy to do? That's the tension, is it? The tension is, We feel that sometimes I don't need to be in community. I like being by myself, Pastor, and I get that. But the reality, at the heart of it, being by yourself and having downtime, or some people call it decompression time, that's okay. I'm not saying it's not okay. But when it comes to it, you're going to need people in your life. You are. God wants you to live in community. So here's the thing. We might say, I don't need community. I'm okay. I am a rock. I'm an island. Friendship only causes pain. Somebody said that. Right, and that's the kind of a mentality that's the tension we live in, that we say to ourselves, hey, I have been abandoned, I have been hurt, I have church hurts, I have whatever it is, I'm okay staying in my lane, and I don't need community, thank you very much. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I came to do on the cross. I came to set you free from that mindset, right? He wants you to be free from those mindsets. Now, here's the thing, we give into isolation, we give into loneliness so quick. I was just preparing for another talk that I'm gonna be giving here recently, it's coming up, and there's studies that say since the pandemic, since COVID-19 happened, horrible time in our history, more and more people feel isolated and lonely than ever before. This is after the pandemic, not during. There's an isolation, there's a loneliness that we feel as a people, that we feel in our bones, we see it in our side. Maybe you feel that this morning. I do feel isolated, I do feel lonely. I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like I fit in. And so that's the tension that we feel. But Jesus comes and turns that, and he says, I don't want you to think like that, but I want you to think like this, that you are free, and you are free indeed. Amen? So that's what we're called to do. There's a great quote, one of my heroes, J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit fame. There's a quote. Thank you for that clap. Amen. Appreciate that. I get a big grin from Wayne. I appreciate that. But in the books, in the movies, there's this quote in the Hobbit that Gandalf, one of the characters, he says to Bilbo Baggins, a hobbit, he says, Bilbo, the world is not in your books and maps. It's out there. And I would add this, if I could, respectfully, the world is not in your phones and your screens. It's out there. It's with each other. Look across the aisles, look around you. This is where the world is. This is what we're called to do and do life together this way. So that's what we're called to be, is with the community of one another. It's okay to have some downtime. It's okay to have this time of like decompression, but listen, we can't stay there. We've got to do life together. There are people that need you. The church is stronger when you're here. Do you know that? We're stronger because you're here and what you bring, what you offer. And so listen, the world is not in our books and maps. The world is not in our screens. The world is not in our isolation and loneliness. The world is out there because of what Jesus did, because he came to set us free, and we are free indeed. Amen. So there are four signs that we're being set free. I want you to see, this is kind of our big idea, where we're going. Four signs that if you're truly set free, this is what's gonna happen in your life. This is a mark of maturity in your life. These are the things that are gonna happen, that you're gonna begin to have that perspective change, a perspective shift on the way you look at the world and you look at people. You're not gonna be like the Grinch, that you just can't stand everything, or Scrooge, okay? But you're gonna see people the way Jesus sees them. Your heart's gonna break for what breaks Jesus's heart. You're gonna see people with dignity and compassion and respect. Right? We're gonna see like Jesus sees. We're gonna be people of encouragement. So many of you out here are people of encouragement. I wanna encourage you to keep it up, because the world needs it. The world needs that encouragement time after time. Everybody's a critic. Everybody's really to give their opinion on some crazy website. Be an encouragement. Can we do that? Can we be an encouragement as a people? Encourage one another. You know, here's the thing, when someone encourages you, receive it. Receive that. Is it hard for you to take compliments? It is for me sometimes, I'll be honest with you. But receive that. Receive that encouragement that you get. If Doug's gonna share a compliment with me, I'm gonna go, no, I'm not Doug. Like, oh, shucks. But I'm gonna try to receive that and say, yes and amen, I receive that. I'm actually gonna say those words, okay? So I wanna encourage you to be an encouragement to others, amen. Here's the thing, you're gonna want to be challenged and moved out of your comfort zone. You ever just say, okay, I need to do something different. I need to eat better, or I need to read this, or whatever it is. We don't do it because it's like dutiful, but we do it because we're moving toward maturity. We're moving because we're set free. So we should be willing to be challenged in where we are in our faith. And then here's the thing, we're constantly moving to take our next step into who Jesus calls us to be. We're willing to take that next step. I'm not gonna step off there. But we're called to take that next step. Do you wanna take your next step in maturity and community? Because Christ set us free. That's what we're called to do. So we're gonna look at this beautiful story. I love it. In John chapter 11, there's a story of Lazarus. And Lazarus, it's a great comeback story. It's an amazing story that we see about Jesus and his encounter with him. But we see someone that is, if you know the story, I'm gonna get there with it. It demonstrates that there's a man who is in a condition that is wrapped up, and there's grave clothes, and he needs someone to help unwrap those grave clothes. He needs someone to show him where life is. This morning, I would say that we're gonna need one another to help unwrap those grave clothes, those things that we struggle with in our lives. We're gonna need people to help us there. We can't do it by ourselves. We're gonna need people when we're down and out in our church family to say and point to the cross and say, Jesus is your answer. There's freedom in Jesus. There's a relationship in Jesus. We need others sometimes to show us the way, because we can get stuck in our heads. And we can get stuck in our hearts that kind of lead us astray. And the enemy of our souls wants us to think stinking thinking and not see that we're truly free and set free indeed. So there's a story in John chapter 11. If you have your Bible, I'm gonna read parts of it. We're not gonna read all 44 verses of this amazing story. You're welcome. So there's this great story of Jesus and Lazarus. And if you know anything about Lazarus, Lazarus is the brother of Mary. There's a lot of different Marys. If you're familiar with Mary. Mary was the one Mary who poured the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. That's the Mary we're talking about here. And so when we talk about that Mary, we have Mary and Martha who are there. And so a lot of times when we hear Mary and Martha, we hear one that's a fuss bucket and one that just sits in adoration and worship of Jesus. So we're talking about those Mary and Martha here, okay? And so their family lives in the city called, a little town called Bethany. It's near Jerusalem, right near there. And as they're traveling, Jesus is doing ministry. They're in Bethany near Jerusalem, and they receive word that Lazarus becomes ill. He becomes gravely ill, as a matter of fact, what it says. John 11:3. So the two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Now, I don't want you to skip over that. It says, your dear friend. Have you ever thought of Jesus having friends? You know, you see all these paintings, he's real stoic looking, and it doesn't look like he has, like Jesus had friends. It shows you the humanity of Jesus. It shows you that Jesus loved community, and he demonstrated. So Jesus had a friend in Lazarus, and so his friend, his dear friend, not just an acquaintance, not just, but a dear friend. Can you think of dear friends in your life? Aren't you thankful for them? I pray that they're an encouragement to you. So Jesus says, a dear friend of yours is very sick. And so we see this. He's very sick. He becomes ill. In John 11:6, he says, he stayed there when he was there for the next 2 days. Jesus delayed going to Bethany for 2 days. And so he doesn't hurry right away, but he delays. He begins to kind of just focus on what he needed to do. In verse 6, he's there. He explains that as Lazarus was sick, there's a reason and a thought pattern behind this, because what is going to happen, Jesus wants to glorify God in this situation. Now, how many of us think in our situations where we're in right now, is my response glorifying to God? And so Jesus is going to demonstrate this to the people in the town, to Mary and Martha, to Lazarus, the people that are looking on. And so we have to think, are our responses, our reactions, are they glorifying God in what we do? So there's this journey to Bethany that happens. Jesus goes to his destination, and then we see in John 11:11, we're going to be skipping around here, it says this, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up now. It says our friend. And so he, not only is it Jesus' dear friend, but he says it's our friend. He's talking to the disciples, he's talking to the community. And when someone gets hurt or is impacted or has something happen to him, something should happen within us. That we should automatically say, I'm gonna pray for this person that has an upcoming medical thing, or there's a baby that was just delivered. Like, we should be one to be around them as a church, amen? That's what we're called to do. And so Jesus is saying this in verse 11, that he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And so again, it demonstrates this, that we're seeing the power of Jesus, who he is, as Son of God, and he has the power of God to do many things, but he's also demonstrating a community aspect within this passage. He's demonstrating community and the important decision. So he tells his disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep and he must be awakened. Now, I don't know about you, but if you see someone in grave clothes inside of a tomb, and you're gonna go, that person's not asleep, they're dead, right? That's just me, am I the only one, right? That's what I'm gonna think anyway. So Jesus is trying to help them understand, he's just fallen asleep. So immediately there's this teaching moment that's about to happen. That Jesus is only going to do what Jesus can do in this moment. He's going to teach them and show them who has this power and this resurrection power, what it means to have community. And so they misunderstood Jesus. And so he clarifies in verse 14, Jesus clarifies now that Lazarus is dead. Okay, we're seeing that. So they arrive in Bethany. And he's been in the tomb for 4 days. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. And so what they would do in this time, in the Jesus' time, they would wrap someone in linens and cloth. Think like on Mummy almost, you know, like the old school mommy movies. Nobody? Okay. Just Google it. But he was wrapped. And so he was in the tomb for 4 days, and they covered it, the rock, to kind of deal with the stench and everything else. There's science behind when someone has passed away. And so there's dealing with this. He's in this tomb for 4 days. And so there have been many mourners that they understand that Lazarus has died. He's wrapped in this tomb. There have been many mourners that come by, and they are present with Mary and Martha. They're mourning with them. That's another thing we can see in this passage, that within the community, not only are we to learn and grow and laugh, but we're also called to mourn with people, offering them our presence, just our presence, not necessarily even our words sometimes, but just showing up and being there in that time, that dire hour, means the world. Can you think of that in your own life? When someone just was there. They weren't trying to fix you. They weren't trying to give you a Christian cliche bumper sticker, but they were there just to be present with you. Mel and I have had friends that were there for us recently that we've had some tough times, and that gift of presence means the world. And so we see, again, that demonstration. They were there present with Mary and Martha. So there's this interaction, this conversation that happens with Martha. Martha expresses her belief that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus's death. I've been there. Jesus, why didn't you do something? You have all the power to do it. Why didn't you intervene? Have you been there? And so here we see this, that Mary feels these real visceral, raw feelings of, God, why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you come when I asked? And the reality is this, is that God hears that, but sometimes that there's other things that God has in place that we don't see, that there's a blessing that comes that we don't see. And here's the thing, God is big enough to handle your frustration and your anger and your mourning. And it's okay to feel those feelings, you know that? And so it's here we hear, we have this thing with Martha. There's this, you could have prevented this death. And many of us have those situations in our life. Maybe you're going through something like that right now. But I wanna tell you that God is big enough, his shoulders are big enough that he can handle that. But I also want you to know that you've been set free from that. You don't have to stay there forever. You're gonna see that they don't stay there forever. They continue to move forward in their faith. Many mourners are present with Mary and Martha. She's expressing her disbelief, the kind of frustration that Jesus could have prevented this. And then we see in John 11:25, these are powerful words. This is a really powerful statement about who Jesus identifies himself in the community. He says, I am, an I am statement. Anytime you see that in the Gospels, listen up, underline it, highlight it. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Here he is taking this dire situation. There's weeping, there's mourning, there's tears, there's frustration, there's anger, there's all the feelings, all the stuff, all the soup that's there, right? They're feeling that. And Jesus declares, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And so here he's foretelling about what he's gonna do in his mission coming up, but also he's also dealing with his friend Lazarus. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha then affirms her faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Did you see that? Martha affirms her faith that Jesus is the Messiah. Even in her frustration, even in her anger, she recognizes who Jesus is. Do you recognize Jesus in your pain right now as Messiah? Because he is. He's the Messiah. He's the one that we should be clinging to when things don't make sense. Is Jesus the Messiah in your life? Now there's an encounter with Mary. Again, this is the Mary that anointed Jesus' feet with the expensive perfume. Mary expresses her grief. She has feelings as well. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. There's an expression there. And then here we see this. In John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, we see Jesus' response. We see Jesus' humanity. We see Jesus' brokenness. We see Jesus mourning. It says, Jesus wept. Have you ever thought of Jesus like that? That he wept, he weeps, he cries? That when he knows about your story and the pain and the struggles you've been, that he weeps with you and for you? That is the great love that God has for us. That is the great love that God demonstrates to us through Jesus. And so Jesus, feeling the weight of this moment, he hears from Mary, he hears from Martha, he feels the weight of his friend being gone now, he begins to cry. That's a powerful, powerful verse, and I hope you don't just read over that. That's a great quote, right? It's a great quote. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And so here's the miracle that happens. So here's the, there's a death, there's a thing that happens, that Jesus knows what you're going through. He weeps with you. You're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. You're not alone. And so here's what happened. He approaches the tomb. There's the mourning that happens. There's the dialogues that are happening. He weeps, he feels it too. I would encourage you, listen, if you're going through struggles right now, cry, feel those feelings. Talk to somebody, talk to a pastor, talk to your connection group leaders, go see a counselor, but feel those feelings. They mean something. And learn from those things. Learn from those things what God wants you, because when we learn that, we're able to pass that along in community. So Jesus approaches the tomb. He asks for the stone to be removed. Lazarus is in the tomb. He's been there for 4 days. The smell is ripe. It's gross. And so despite the objections about this odor, he asked them to remove the stone. The stone is rolled away. And Jesus prays to the Father. This is a huge miracle that's happening within John, thanking him for hearing him. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for hearing me. Did you ever pray that prayer? That God hears your prayers. They don't just bounce off the ceiling. But he hears your prayers. He hears your praises. He hears your complaints. He hears you. And so he hears this. He thanks, Jesus begins to thank his Father for hearing him and knowing that. And so here's the next thing. In 11:43, jump down. 11:43, Jesus commands Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forward. Lazarus, come out. And so Lazarus emerges from the tomb. He's still wrapped in burial clothes. He's still wrapped in those burial clothes. In 11:44, it says this, the dead man came out and his hands and feet were bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And so he needs some people to help deal with these grave clothes. He needs somebody to help unwrap him from this situation. In our lives, we're going to need people to pray with us. We're gonna need people to laugh with us. We're needing people to do life with us. That's why we do connection groups. But here we see this situation. There's he emerges from that. He's still buried in these clothes. And Jesus says to them, unwrap him and let him go. He says to the people, unwrap him. We need people in our lives to unwrap the grave clothes that we're going through. That if we're going through something right now, and I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand, you need people in your life to help you deal with those issues, to unwrap the grave clothes that you're dealing with. And if you can identify what those are in your life, and I just ask you this today, ask God, help me have those people, help me to have enough courage and bravery to say, I need help. I need to do life with someone. I need people in this church to help me unwrap these grave clothes. Here's the thing, you can be such an encouragement to others by doing that. But do you have the willingness to step out in faith and do that? So Jesus brings the power in this moment. There's a demonstration of resurrection from the death. All right, he demonstrates that. Calls Lazarus forward. He brings him forward and uses others to help walk in their true identity. The people that see this miracle, they understand who Jesus is. Because they understand who Jesus is, they understood who they are. They understood that they're sons and daughters, that Jesus has the power to change lives. Jesus has the power to give life where there's death. Jesus has the power to give beautiful things that are broken redemption. That's what God wants to do for us. That's what he wants to do for you. And so he brings this power and uses it to help others walk in that same power. And so we see this. There are many Jews that believed, it said in verse 45, that believed in Jesus because of this miracle. They saw the power of who Jesus was, and they came to believe. Just stepping out and taking that time to understand who Jesus is, that's what we're called to do. Relationships. Listen to me. Relationships are powerful. We're called to live in relationships with one another. We're called to live in relationships with one another. We're called to live in horizontal relationships. Horizontal relationships are those with family and friends and church community. Think about your horizontal relationships. Who is in that for you? Who is that? Who is that person that's in your horizontal relationships? Then there's the vertical relationship with our relationship with God, with Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called. It's this overflowing thing that's foundation of who we are, that sets us free, that gives us the freedom to be who we're called to be. That's our relationship. So both of these relationships, the horizontal and the vertical, are what we call the biblical relationships that Christ calls us to. And so it mirrors him perfectly. It mirrors Christ and what he's done for us. It mirrors us to show us that we're set free, and we're set free indeed. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, so encourage one another, build one another up, just as you're already doing. So this is a mandate. This is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. We're called to encourage one another. You don't just get together and eat casseroles. It's bigger than that. But we're called to encourage one another. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be, that encouragement biblically for one another. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Do you have those people in your life that are sharpening you, pushing you, changing your perspective to become more like Christ? I've got people in my life that I know that sharpen me. When I start feeling the pity party, they say, stop it. They've earned the right to do that. They can speak into my life. But do you have that person in your life that is sharpening you to become sharp as iron, to be more like Jesus? And I encourage you, if you don't, find that. Ask God to bring those people in your life, and he will do that. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Can you think of someone in your life right now that is challenging you and sharpening you to be more like Jesus? That's a great question to ask. If you don't have that, say, God, please put that person in my life. When we talk about the word accountability, that makes us kind of wiggle and squirm a little bit. We don't like it. A true community, someone that is doing biblical relationships will always have true accountability. They will. If you're really in a true community with God and with others, there's gonna be accountability. You know, that relationship that you have with one another deserves a why. Well, why weren't you there, right? Well, I don't wanna tell you. But that's not accountability, right? I can say, Doug, I wasn't there because of this. And Doug's gonna say, awesome, I'm gonna pray for you because of that. But we're called to have this accountability and encouragement as a believer, as a believing church. So true friends in Christ are not afraid to speak truth into our lives, biblical truth. Not your truth, but the biblical truth. We're called to speak that into our lives. Relationships need to reflect Jesus. If these relationships aren't reflecting Jesus, they're not good for us. We just sang about and remembered what Jesus did on the cross. His sacrificial love, that's what a Christ-like love looks like. It's one that sacrifices, puts their needs behind and puts the needs of others before. That's what Jesus does. There's forgiveness and grace offered. That's what that kind of a relationship looks like. Are they offering forgiveness and receiving forgiveness? Are they offering grace? That's what you need in your life. Number four is this: relationships strengthen the church. Relationships like this, biblical relationships strengthen the church. There's a beautiful church here because of the relationships that we have. They're deep-seated. And you guys strengthen one another continually. And when that needs to continue, as new people come and new people enter in, we need to be able to have that same love and extension and strengthen. There needs to be unity and diversity. There's gonna be people that think differently, that look differently, but we're called to have unity as Christ calls us to have. Unity and diversity. That matters to God, do you know that? That matters. Then here's the thing, this is the other thing, that we're called to do the mission together. I'm not just talking about Liberia, that's part of it, but I'm talking about the mission, the Great Commission, the mission to tell others about Jesus. These biblical relationships push us to mission, to serve one another as Christ calls us to serve each other. Acts 2, 42 through 47, there's this beautiful picture of the early church where believers were sharing life and supporting one another and bringing each other meals. This is before meal train. This is what they were doing. They were taking care. But it's a beautiful picture of what the church is called to. We're called to take care of one another. Groups allow you to do that. Do you know that? We're going to have 12 to 14 weeks of groups starting tomorrow. It kicks off. Today it kicks off. But it allows us to share care for one another. Genuine care. What is care? Like a side hug? Yes and no, right? But care is this, is that when you're not there, I'm going to say, hey, where were you? Like, can I pray for you? You're not being nosy or fussy, but you're just generally caring about that person. And so here's some takeaways I want you to look at. Prioritize your relationship with God. Prioritize your relationship with God. It might be that next slide, Joel. They're up. It's coming. Here we go. But we're going to call to prioritize your relationship with God. Spend time in prayer, study his word. It might be that last one. But we're called to prioritize. Is your relationship with God matter? Is it a priority in your life? Or is it something that just kind of like is down on your to-do list? Well, we're called to do that. We're called to prioritize our relationship with God. That's how we get sharper. That's how we get better. That's how we move closer to Jesus. Build godly friendships. In other words, surround yourself with people who encourage you to grow in your faith. Build those relationships. Look for the people in this church or even outside this church. Are they going to help you understand who Jesus is? That they're gonna encourage you to have these godly friendships, to have this accountability. That's what we're called to do. How about this? Invest in community. Invest in community. We have groups that are coming up, but there are organic things that you can do. You can actually get together and have coffee with one another. California Coffee is right down the road. Go there. Or start, whatever. Just get together, right? But invest. Invest in our community. Invest in our little ones. Invest in our students, but do something. Don't just sit idly back. Don't sit in the stands. Get in the game. Invest in the community now. Don't wait. Everyone needs a team to serve and a group to belong to. Everyone needs a team to serve and a group to belong to. That's what we're called to do here at Bridge City Church. We want you to do this. We want you to invest. Invest in the community and watch what will happen. Watch how God will use you for his purposes. And then last is this. Love sacrificially. Love sacrificially. Give. Outgive one another. Try to outserve one another. Give sacrificially. Look for ways to serve, to encourage, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. But these are the things that we're called to do. Prioritize your relationship with God. Build your relationships. Invest in the community here at the church. And love sacrificially. Are you doing those things? There's a power of Christ that comes, who has set us free from isolation and loneliness, and you to be lonely. That's not what God called you to do. God's very nature, in and of himself, is one of community in the Trinity. He saw in Adam a man that needed help, and he brought along a helpmate. Jesus comes along in the New Testament, in Matthew 28, and gives this great commission and this challenge to his disciples and his followers. This is what you're called to do as community. Go out and tell others. Are you doing that? You're not called to be by yourself. Please don't, if you're thinking that way, just come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you now about it. But I'm going to invite you to stand right now, right where you are. We're going to close in prayer. And I just want to pray for you that you would be set free from isolation, that you would be set free from loneliness and the thought that nobody likes you. That stinking thinking that God has no place for you, but he wants you to be set free from those mindsets and to get into a community, to sharpen one another. So Heavenly Father, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters. There's so many of us, Lord, that are feeling isolated and lonely. We feel like we don't belong in certain places, even in our own families sometimes we don't feel like we belong. But Lord, we thank you that because of what you did on the cross and who you are, that you've set us free from that, that we are not defined by those things. We're not defined by what people say we are. We're not defined by our loneliness, but we're defined by our relationship with you. We're defined by how we invest in community as well and in others. So Father, help us to see the power in you that we are set free. As you have raised Lazarus, that others help remove those grave clothes. Help us to seek others when we're dealing with struggles and pain in our lives, not to think we're alone. Help us to get out of the screens. Help us to get out of our heads. Help us to find that life is out there with you. And so, Father, I pray a blessing upon each one here. Lord, that you would help us, even in this moment, today, that we would recommit our lives. No matter that we've been walking with Jesus our entire life or we're new, Lord, that we're going to commit our ways. We're going to invest in community. We're going to pour into one another and do life together. Lord, help us. Fill us with your spirit. Empower us to walk in bold faith. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to bring up Sly now. Oh, nope, I'm not. I got something else to do. If you're a connection group leader, thank you, Sly. If you're a connection group leader or a coach, I'm going to ask that you come forward now and just stand right here in the front. Connection group leader, coach, apprentice, just stand in the front. And we're going to pray over each of our connection group leaders and coaches and apprentices as they lead us this semester. I'm thankful for each of them. Derek and Bridget are making their way here. I'm looking forward to Rain's apprenticeship this semester.